I recently returned from a 10-day meditation retreat. And I have to say that being on retreat is a really remarkable experience. There's nothing like it, really. And I highly recommend doing it. Because when we sit with ourselves and practice mindfulness in a concentrated manner for a number of days, we learn so much about ourselves. And that learning involves getting insight into what causes us stress and suffering, and knowing that, we can begin to heal our relationship to our life. And this can bring about psychological and physical healing as well. And you know, when you're on retreat, you always have expectations about how things should be, or what you are going to experience, maybe about your state of mind at the end of the retreat and the things that might happen on the retreat. But the thing is, you never get the retreat you wanted, but it seems like you always get the retreat you need at that given time. Think about this. If you meditate for half an hour a day, you may very well experience some calm, or at least some insight into how you are physically, mentally, and emotionally. And this is very important. We all need this. Maybe you see a negative emotional pattern that's been holding you back. Or maybe you realize that there's someone in your life you should forgive. Or maybe you just start feeling better because you're finally paying attention to yourself from the inside, becoming intimate with yourself. But what if, instead of half an hour, you meditated for 6 or 8 hours a day? Just think how much deeper your learning could be. And that's the beauty of going on retreat, because you have an opportunity to spend that much time really digging deeper with your practice. And since I came back from the retreat, I've been thinking about what it really boils down to. And I've come up with this. When you're on retreat, you're basically on a fast from everyday experience. You fast from the media, smartphones, web browsing, email. You fast from alcohol. You fast from caffeine, for some of us anyway. You fast from speaking. You fast from your sports team. You fast from the news and knowledge of world events. You fast from cuddling with your partner. You fast from sex. You fast from shopping. But it's important to understand that you don't fast from your desire for these things. You just fast from the things themselves, which means that when you're on retreat, you are left with your desires. Your habits of wanting and not wanting become abundantly clear when you're on retreat, because you just see the wanting, but can't act on it and lose yourself in the experience. So when you're on retreat, you get to study desire, day after day, watching the neural grooves light up to tell the familiar stories. Day after day, the desires, the aversions, the confusions come and go, incessant, with a life of their own, seemingly uncontrollable. Until you become exhausted with your desires, and you let go of them a little, if just for the relief of it, and it feels good to let go, so you let go a little bit more, until you begin to see that you were not your desires at all, any more than you were the sweat under your arms or the clouds passing overhead. Your desires are just passing through you. Nor are you that familiar self that's been doing the desiring all these years. That committee in the mind that's addicted to telling your stories over and over again. You are more than these passing states of mind and heart. Because if you were these stories and desires, you'd never be able to notice them as passing states. You notice them as passing states precisely because there is something deeper and vaster in the experience of being you that holds it all. something that witnesses your experience but isn't the experience itself. An awakened, spacious knowing, which you begin to realize is the steadiest thing in your life. That's when you begin to feel free. Then, of course, you leave retreat, you go home, you go back to your job, your steadiness of mind begins to fray a little. You get invited to a cocktail party, and before you know it, it all starts over again. You start believing your stories. You start seeing your desires as factual, as objects to be believed and acted on, and desire becomes king again. But maybe in the everyday, non-retreat world, when you are desiring something, you'll remember the knowing and see through the desire, not abandoning your desires, just remembering that their fulfillment is not the cause of lasting happiness. As the poet Ryokan wrote, "Without desire, everything is sufficient. With seeking, myriad things are impoverished. Plain vegetables can soothe hunger. A patched robe is enough to cover this bent old body. Alone, I hike with a deer. Cheerfully, I sing with village children. The stream under the cliff cleanses my ears. The pine on the mountaintop fits my heart."